Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adisk, and this is Financial Survival. We have a little bit of technical difficulty getting the program rolling today. Not everyone has had their coffee. Got to have their coffee to get the program functioning properly, and they don't have their coffee.
Can you hear me, Alfred?
Yes, I can.
Well, actually, I was just confirming Greg Hunter for an interview on December 9th, and we were just going over a little time, and that's... I was running a little late to calling everybody. So, always working here, Al. So,
yes, I understand that.
Let's tell the listeners what day it is today. It's Tuesday, right?
It's pretty close. That would be within one of seven. Okay. I'm pretty sure that Tuesday is correct, and it's the third day of December in the year of our Lord, 2013.
You know what I like about this program, Al?
What's that?
I think there is no other program on the planet that starts out like ours. So we are very unique, and I like that.
Some of them start like ours, too, sometimes. I don't know about all the time, but sometimes it's definitely unique.
Anyway, we got lots of things to talk about today, so let's just get started. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm Melody Cederstrom with Alfred Adisk, and today is December 3rd, Tuesday, 2013. And a lot of action in the markets today. We were able to, manage a three-day $3 move in gold today, up $12.23. Silver is pretty much unchanged at $19.27, just down a few cents. Platinum was up $15 at $1,365, and palladium was up $3 at $719. They did a little bit of a whammy on the USDX today, nothing big, down 0.32 at $80.60. And crude oil is a very interesting number in crude oil today, 96.10, up over $2.25. So find that very interesting today. And they call it because there's inventories are low. But, you know, hey, I thought the U.S. was producing so much oil. I don't know why they should have any shortages in inventory. But that's what they say. But we all know going into winter, heating oil the prices were going to rise. And so interesting. Let's see what the paper markets did today. Paper markets today. The Dow is down 94 points, closing below 16,000, 15,914. The Nasdaq was down 8, 4,037. The S&P down 5 at 17.95, and the 10-year yield today was down 0.03 at 2.78. So, interesting day in the markets. They came out and said that the Cyber Monday was big, had a good response yesterday, and I think that's all Jeff Bezos did was Amazon. He did a really good PR number. I'm sure everybody tuned in to, everybody was talking about Amazon, so I'm sure it led a lot of people to the website to do a lot of buying yesterday on Cyber Monday, and I do believe the technology, the tech items, mobile phones and so forth were the hot items. You'd think eventually people would have enough. I mean, I even hate to upgrade my telephone because then I have to know what that new button means. I'd rather just keep what I have, and I'd keep it for 10 years if I was allowed to. But
see, the way I look at it, Melody, I don't need to upgrade my phone, but I may need to upgrade my friends. Do they have anything on Cyber Monday for getting a new set of friends or people who call you on the telephone?
Perhaps.
All right. We'll have to look into that.
Perhaps. But so, interesting day tomorrow. I doubt if that will pull them out of the holiday season. It certainly is only really a little over 3 weeks till Christmas and shortened holiday season.
Well, the one thing about it, though, we touched on this yesterday a little bit about this business of people buying on the internet, and I believe I saw a study a week or so ago that indicated about 45-50% of the people plan to buy something on the internet for this holiday season, and that has to be just terrible news for brick and mortar stores. If we've had a pretty good Cyber Monday, we had a passable Black Friday and Turkey Day, Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. I guess they were, they weren't terrible. They were a little bit down, or at least Black Friday was a little bit down. If Cyber Monday was good, that's business that's taken away from the stores, brick and mortar stores. And the implication in all of this is that there are too many brick and mortar stores in this country right now, and therefore commercial real estate, at least for storefronts, I'm not talking about office buildings, but for storefronts, commercial real estate is not likely to be a good investment except at choice locations over, several years into the future. I just don't, unless something's done where they can learn how to compete with the internet, and I don't think they can. They can't beat that internet overhead, which is negligible compared to the stores.
I see
a lot of vacant space.
I think you can have some of your brick and mortars who actually do sell online, but they don't get the traffic, because you have your big, they can't compete with the, we saw that a lot with the antique business, with the little antique stores, in the 90s when everybody was buying antiques, everybody was going to auctions, everybody had, little antique stores, and you saw a lot of your antique stores come together and create their lines online, but it became difficult with eBay, because then you had eBay, so you have your big companies, just like Walmart did to the brick and mortar stores. You have Amazon and eBay do that to a lot of these places.
Walmart,
who try to
they're going to do it to Walmart is what's going to happen.
There's Walmart sells
that you can
online.
Buy at Walmart. I understand that, but my point is Walmart still has brick and mortar stores.
That's true.
And what you're going to see is Walmart is perhaps going to move in the direction of having less brick and mortar stores and more online presence.
But you know what's interesting, though? What about these websites, though, which I didn't realize until just recently, is like Amazon and even Walmart, they don't do the actual, they have smaller businesses that post their products. So you actually buy these other people's products through their websites.
In many instances,
yeah. Yeah, it doesn't just come from an Amazon warehouse.
Most of it does, though, the way I understand it. I've ordered some things from Amazon. I won't say it's an enormous amount, but I've made some orders from Amazon, placed some orders with Amazon, and I'd say 90% of the product I've ordered came in the same box, and it was a diverse order. I wanted some of this and some of this and some of this. It all came in the same box from Amazon, but one of the items I ordered came independently in another box from another supplier. So Yeah, Amazon, all I'm saying, the point of all of this is that it does not bode well for commercial real estate, at least not for storefronts. Office buildings may do fine. I don't know. That's something I can't predict on this. But if you're investing in real estate, doesn't look like storefronts, unless it's at a choice location. Got a good location, choice location, upscale, I'd say yeah. But there's going to be a lot of empty real estate stores or storefronts, increasing number over the next several years. And I'd guess that one of a kind of a growth business would be the ability to convert those storefronts into something like apartments. As nutty as that might sound to some people, what are you going to do with them? If you can't get stores in there, what are you going to put in there?
Well, the government will buy it and set them up as sign-ups for Obamacare.
Good idea. Could have one sign up for every five people and guarantee to get you online, get you hooked up within a month. Come on down. Well, you know.
Keeps everybody employed, yeah.
I understand. This is an interesting day, though, in terms of the markets. It's nothing enormous. Gold is up a little. Platinum, palladium up a little. Silver's down barely. Of the other indicators that I'm looking at, I see 17 of them all together. There are two that are up. Besides the precious metals, one is crude oil. That's up $2.27.
That's a nice jump.
That's a nice jump for one day. And the Nikkei Stock Exchange over in Japan, that's also up almost 100 points. No big deal exactly, but mostly down. Not necessarily big time down, but everything else is down, down, down. Again, it's not evidence that the sky is not falling or probably not even bending, but it's evidence that things are not simply running in one direction. We are kind of at one of those points where it's kind of up some days and kind of down some days, and it's more or less moving sideways to some degree. And whether that means they're about to jump up or perhaps fall down, question. But the trend is not obvious. So what else, Melody?
Oh, a lot of news came out today. Detroit, they can proceed with bankruptcy. I thought that's interesting. It's going to set precedence for a lot of cities from now on that file bankruptcy. And I think they've been waiting for this decision before a lot of these other cities follow suit. And now they have a ruling.
And who is going to get particularly injured, and who will be particularly screaming over the bankruptcy in Detroit?
Well, I believe it's certainly going to be the people, the pensions.
Yeah, I know.
Retirees, investors, creditors, you betcha.
Yep, that's the ones that are going to get butchered on this thing. And it's interesting because what's happening here is people worked for Detroit. And I don't doubt that they were well paid while they were working. But part of their pay structure was, we're going to get this pension. Later on, we're going to get a very generous pension. And it was part of the reason they worked for the city, and part of the reason they may have even gloated over having a job with the city. But the truth was, they took a promise to pay rather than a payment. That's what your pensions are. They're a promise. You work for us today, and 10, 20 years from now, we're going to see that you get some money. You know, you're going to get paid later. Well, it's one more evidence of the danger in accepting a promise to pay rather than a payment. And what's a payment, Melody? Gold
what
and
is
silver.
Gold and silver.
Yeah, exactly. All the rest of it, all the paper dollars, they are nothing but a promise to pay. And they're passed around. I get a paper dollar, and that's a promise to pay, and I give it to somebody else, and he accepts it. Someone promises to pay me a dollar, and they give me a dollar bill instead. Okay, it works because I can pass it off to another guy who will take this promise to pay and accept it as if it's a payment. But the truth is, no one is being paid who's accepting paper. We think we are. We are of a mindset, we believe we are, we believe that we can take that piece of paper, and one of these days I can take that piece of paper, that dollar bill, that $100 bill, and I can go buy something at the store, and as long as we all share that confidence, the pieces of paper work. But they are all nothing more than promises to pay. And in that regard, they're cut from the same cloth as the pensions in Detroit, which were nothing but promises to pay. And people who took the promises, they thought that was going to work out fine. In retrospect, they would have been better to take a payment. Huh? And it's a confusing concept, a little bit confusing, but it's because we think in terms of dollar bills as money, and it's not. It's only currency. There's a difference. And it just illustrates, Detroit just illustrates how important it is to take payments, not just promises to pay. If you're taking a piece of paper, that's all you've got is a promise to pay. So our recommendation, as always, is avoid the paper as much as possible. Look, seek payment. Payment, real payment, gold and silver. Get that if you possibly can. Now you've got something that can, you know, you're not dependent on whether or not Detroit or the federal government or this or your state government or anybody else or any corporation. If you got that payment, you're not dependent on their promises. No. This business in Detroit, the unions are arguing. The federal judge says it's okay to file for bankruptcy. Unions and pension funds had argued that the city should not be eligible to use bankruptcy court protections. They said that regardless of Detroit's financial problems, city and state officials did not negotiate with the creditors in good faith. But good faith is irrelevant. In the final analysis, what can't be paid won't be paid. I've been harping on that idea for 5 years now. And this is, it's simplistic and perhaps overly simplistic, but it just illustrates this point. It doesn't matter whether Detroit is acting in good faith or not. What matters is, does Detroit have any assets? Does it have any money? And the answer is no. Detroit is broke, too broke to ever repay all its debts. Therefore, the debts won't be paid in full because they can't be repaid. It's not there. Squeezing blood out of a turnip or whatever. There's no blood there. You can't get any. No judge can wave a magic wand that'll make a bankrupt pay his or its bills. Broke is broke. That's why we have bankruptcy law. Bankruptcy law is simply a legalized recognition of the fundamental idea that what can't be paid won't be paid. There's no point to continuing to pursue some poor guy or poor corporation or poor city who has flat broke. They don't have it. There's no point to putting them in jail because all it does is cost you money to jail whoever's responsible. You have to just learn to recognize these people are broke. They don't have the money. The only thing you can do in bankruptcy law is verify that they're actually broke. All right? You look and you do a proper investigation. You discover that, these people really don't have any money. And then you sit back and say, okay, we got to just cancel bills. That's all. That's all we can do. And that's what we're seeing in Detroit, even though there may be some technical flaws in Detroit's bankruptcy petition. The judge just said, okay, we're going to go. All right? One of the unions said they're going to appeal. Big deal. What difference will it make? I mean, if you go to an appellate judge, what are they going to do to the city of Detroit? How are they going to force them to pay bills that they can't pay? This bankruptcy is going to stand, and some of the people who trusted in the city and trusted in their promises to pay are going to lose a bunch of their pensions. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Melody has a special for today. What is it, Melody? What's the special?
Yeah, this is just a simple little Christmas special for those of you who would like to purchase for a loved one, family member, friend. And you can split it up because it involves two coins. $250 is the price of the package. Mint State 64 Morgan Silver Dollar. This is a certified uncirculated Morgan Silver Dollar, minted prior to 1921. So they're beautiful, nice white coins. And also a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. And it does have the 2013 dates on them. So it's a 2013 1/10 ounce Gold Eagle coin. Both coins together, it includes all your shipping costs, $250. So give us a call. You can buy one or 100 of those. If you buy more than if you buy more than 10, we'll help you out with the cost. We can also lower the cost on that for you. But you got to give us a call, get the prices locked in so we can get the package to you before Christmas. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, all these programs are archived. And if you get lonely one night and you want to listen to Al and Melody, well, you can go on there and you can go back almost a full year or 6 months, I think, at least. So there you go. You can have, you know, unlimited radio time with Mel and Al. So, you know, before the break, we were talking about
Detroit
and their bankruptcy. Well, you know, there is a special session being held in Illinois. There's no responses to the outcome for today yet, but they're planning to vote on a plan to solve. They have a $100 billion pension crisis
for the state of Illinois, Chicago,
for the state of Illinois. It's the state's $100 billion pension crisis, a proposal many are calling the most important vote of their careers and one that could deeply reduce the retirement benefits of hundreds of thousands of workers and retirees. And, you know, what's interesting now, Illinois has the worst funded pension system of any state in the nation, primarily the lawmakers. failed for decades to make the state's full payments to the funds. Why aren't these people held accountable? I get it. If the money ain't there, you can't. If you can't be paid, it won't be paid. I get that. And no one really has a right. You know, they're not going to get it. But then on the other hand, these people who have bankrupted these pension funds, someone should be held accountable.
I agree with you. And it's a problem we've got across the board with government. No one is held accountable for what they say to the public. There are laws. I think Title 18, Section 1001, if I recall correctly, involves making false statements, fraudulent statements, by mail or by over the wire, right? And I think it even goes into public statements, if they're false statements. I've thought for some time, it's time for people to start suing their politicians. Got a politician, stands up and says, this Obamacare is going to be up and running by November 30th? Well, if it's not, maybe it's time to sue them or sue the people that make those statements and compel. You know, the idea that we could compel politicians to tell the truth. The average person, oh, sure. You know, when donkeys fly, that's not going to happen. But the truth of the matter is this. There are laws available that might be employed in order to compel your government officials to either tell the truth or keep their mouths shut. And I'll settle for either one. Either don't say anything or tell us the truth when you do talk. It would be a big improvement. What's happened? We harp on it all the time about the unemployment rate, the inflation rates, the false numbers that we get from government. Why isn't that actionable? What is so special about being in government that you get to lie to the American people? If I were intentionally lying to the people over the radio program, particularly in the context of selling a product, I could be charged with fraud. Why not President Obama? Why not Congressman Smith and Senator Jones? What's so special about them that they can't be held liable? It can't be a mere political liability in the sense that people will get thrown out of office. If we catch them telling too many lies, we'll vote them out. Well, maybe we will and maybe we won't, but they're being paid to tell these lies in part by political campaign contributions that are coming their way from lobbyists that are using these lies in order to help promote particular legislation. They're making money off this deal. They're not just lying to us because they've got nothing better to do. They're lying to us because there's money to be made, at least in many instances. Insofar as that appears to be true, they should be held liable.
And they should. And look how many hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, billions isn't going to get paid that was taken and spent. And what's interesting is the this is the proposal. The one that's supposed to be considered today is supposed to save the state about $160 billion over 30 years and fully fund the system. Oh, wait. And fully fund the system by 2044. I mean, it would push back the retirement age for workers ages 45 and younger on a sliding scale. The annual 3% cost of living increases for retirees would be replaced with a system that only provides the increases on a portion of the benefits based on how many years a beneficiary was in his or her job. Some workers would have the option of freezing their pension and starting a 401k style defined contribution plan. So again, they're changing the rules, they're changing the laws, but it's not going to help the people now.
It's going to help the government. The whole object of this is to perhaps help the government, but it's interesting. We're talking about $100 billion. They're $100 billion behind in pensions right now, if I understood what you said correctly.
That is correct.
All right. And what do we hand out? What does the Federal Reserve hand out every month in the form of quantitative easing?
Yeah.
$85 billion. That's in 2 months, we can knock out the whole pension problem, or the Federal Reserve could knock it out in less than 2 months, just a little over 1 month's worth of quantitative easing. It could be done. The money is available. That's one point. They also talk about $160 billion that they're going to save over 30 years. 30 years. That's less than 2 months of quantitative easing, and they've got a program that they think they can stretch out over 30 years to save what is effectively a lousy $160 billion. You know, when you look at the numbers and you wonder what are these people really thinking about? What are they talking about? How is it that the Federal Reserve can simply print an extra $85 billion a year to help the big banks on Wall Street, and yet we have cities like Detroit and Chicago and whatever. And I'm not in favor of bailing the bankrupt Detroit or bailing out Illinois and the rest of that sort of thing. That's not what I'm arguing. But I'm just saying there is a disparity here that's significant and disturbing.
The whole point of this also is to let people understand things in this country are not better. The economy, if the economy was doing as well as what they said, these numbers wouldn't be as bad.
Yep.
They would have different projections.
Yep.
For the future.
And they wouldn't even be facing the kinds of problems we're talking about right now. The problem would not be coming to a head. It might be that we would still have to face the pension problem in Illinois, but it might be 2 years from now. Or 4 years from now before we really had to face that problem. But it's coming to a head now, precisely in large measure, because the economy has not recovered from the 2007-2008 recession. It hasn't had a recovery, therefore we don't have enough money. These problems are coming to a head now, and it's just evidence of part of the danger. Talked about it in the first section of the program. If you are going to accept promises to pay rather than payments, you put yourself in peril, because we live in an age where we are so indebted that all of the promises can't be kept. You folks should learn from the pensioners at the city of Detroit. You folks should learn from the pensioners for the state of Illinois. They trusted in promises to pay. They trusted in pieces of paper. They are going to be badly disappointed before this is over. And so will everyone else in this country. This is just the beginning of an avalanche. You know, sit down here. People look and say, oh, well, look, there's a snowball rolling down the mountain from Detroit. You know, got a little snowball right here. And here's another one rolling down the mountain from Illinois. Isn't that odd? No, those are just the first chunks of ice that are moving in what will turn out to be an avalanche. The debts can't be paid. If you're holding paper, you're going to be in trouble. It's only sensible. I mean, it's just sensible. It's common sense. You can see this. You got to get away from that paper. How fast the avalanche is going to take place, nobody knows. But it is sensible and reasonable to say it could happen in a relatively short period of time. I'm not saying it's going to. It could. And it's not a bad idea to just get into something other than promises.
And look at the people of Illinois. Yes, we're talking about the people with the pensions and so forth. How do you think they're going to pay for the parts where the money can't go to, like the schools, the roads? They're going to pass transportation bills like they did here in Pennsylvania, to where you get to pay 28 cents more a gallon of gasoline. You get to pay higher registration fees for your automobiles. So the people who live in that state, the taxpayers, they get even a heftier bill. Everybody pays for it. So not only are you destroyed by having your pension plan raided, you're also having more difficult times, to pay for everyday needs and necessities. So again, it affects everyone, not just those people with the pension plans. And guess who? Guess what? Those who created the problem get to walk away for free. And you know what's interesting, Alan?
Oh, they not only get to walk away for free. I guarantee you, the people who created the problem, and you're speaking about legislators right now,
that's
certainly at the congressional level and probably at the Illinois level. I don't know what's happening in Illinois at the Illinois level. But those people, the legislators, I'll bet nothing's going to affect their pensions.
Huh?
But their pensions are going to kick in on schedule, and they will be paid in full while the rest of the great unwashed are on their own. Too bad for you. You know, one of the things you also talked about in the article, you said that they were going to push back the retirement age. Now, that's not necessarily a bad idea. I disagree with this.
That
you can work for the government for 20 years and you can start collecting retirement at age 40. I don't think there's anything so extraordinary about working for the government that you should be able to retire at age 40 while the rest of the population, the rest of the chumps, and that's what they think of, how they think of us, and properly so. We're the ones that wind up paying so the government, former government employee, can retire at age 40. All right, not all of them do, but some of them can. I don't think anybody should be allowed to retire. All right, you want to, your retirement pension fund may be funded after you've got 20 years in the government. All right, your pension fund, now you go out and get another job. But I don't believe any class of people in this country should be entitled to retire at public expense at age 40 or 50. We should all be, same thing as Social Security. If Social Security can't run, retire till 65, same thing for the government. You quit working for the government, you got your pension fund, great, get yourself another job. There's no reason why you should just live like a parasite on the public because your contribution as a government employee was not that impressive. Wasn't that big a deal?
There's just one more thing I want to say about this Illinois. Today they had a today they were supposed to vote, but it actually occurred one day after the deadline for candidates to file with the State Board of Elections to run in the 2014 primary. Timing that could give some lawmakers concerned about a primary challenge the freedom to vote in favor of the bill. So, again, it all comes down to who... You know, how am I going to vote on something to get me elected?
Yeah, I understand.
I mean,
it's always been that way, but sometimes it's been more blatant than others. I can remember at least when I was a young man, you know, there was at least a pretense of honesty, honor, integrity in the political system. There was at least a pretense. I don't know if it was ever true. I wouldn't say it was ever true, but to the degree right now, it's right in your face. We're taking bribes. We are manipulating the system, the numbers, everything else. Again, it causes you to sit back and shake your head. And it's more reason when you look at the lies and the corruption, the prevalence of these problems in government. No matter how you justify them, you have to look back and ask yourself, can a system that relies on lies and manipulation and quantitative easing and injecting fiat money into the economy, can that system be expected to survive for a long period of time? And the answer is no. All right? Can the system be expected to abandon its addiction to lies and manipulation and false numbers and so on? Will they, if we go up and we sit down with President Obama and say, look, you got to start telling the public the truth on these matters. Is President Obama going to say, you know, I think you're right. I'd never thought about that before, but I think you're right. Is that what he's going to say? Or will he just laugh at you? This system is so deep in lies and falsehoods at this point in time that I don't think it's got any other way out. They're going to keep lying, you know, it's right to the very end, and then it's all just going to blow up in everyone's face, which is another reason why you can't trust the promises. Stay away from the promises, particularly from the government. You can't trust them. They can't all be kept. It means you want payments rather than promises to pay.
Those promises were meant to be broken.
Absolutely. They were deceptive all along. All right, we're going to take a break for another set of commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And we've got a headline from CNBC. Yuan overtakes euro as second most used currency in trade finance. All right, the yuan, which is a Chinese currency, has overtaken the euro as the second most used currency in international trade finance. And that's according to Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. SWIFT. The share of the Chinese currency's usage in trade finance, such as letters of credit and collections, grew to 8.7% in October from 1.9% in January of 2012. Now, what they're talking about here is that in terms as a percentage of the total global currency transactions, China rose 8.7% from 1.9% in January 2012. That means it rose roughly 6% in 22 months. Just ballpark figure, we're talking 3% per year. Now, the yuan now ranks behind the U.S. dollar, which remains the leading currency with a share of 81.1%. And that sounds like an enormous advantage, an enormous lead. But the truth of the matter is, I'll bet you that before the euro came online, what, 10, 12 years ago? How long has the euro been available, Melody? Do you know offhand?
Probably
ballpark 13, figure 10 30, years
about
ago.
13,
about all right, 13, fine, 13 14. Years. All right, I'll bet you that up until then it was 99% of the currency used in foreign trade were U.S. dollars. And now it's down to 81%, all right? That's a significant loss in, what, 13 years or thereabouts. If the yuan continues to grow at the rate of 3% a year, just 3% a year, the U.S. and Chinese, the U.S. dollar and Chinese yuan would be equal in terms of usage by 2025. That's 12 years from now. If the yuan's rate of growth accelerates, and it probably will, the yuan and the U.S. dollar will reach parity much sooner. For example, if the use of Chinese yuan increased by 5% a year instead of 3%, that's what it's done for the last couple of years, we could expect a dollar-yuan parity by 2020, just 7 years from now. And if the percentage of yuan usage continues to accelerate, rather than merely increase a steady rate, we might expect to see parity between the U.S. dollar and the Chinese yuan within what? 3 years? 5 at the most? We can wonder how long. The reason this is significant is because the dollar, being the world reserve currency, is the principal currency that's being used for foreign exchange, all right, by countries around the world. And that was easy. It was easy to see, undeniable. Everybody acceded to it. When 99% of the people, the world trade was conducted in dollars, everybody did it. All right, but now at 81%, it's no longer quite so obvious. And we can wonder how far, how much greater the yuan will grow in terms of percent usage in world trade, and how much lower the percentage of U.S. dollars usage will fall in terms of world trade before somebody just says the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency. And if and when that happens, that's the main attribute that's holding the dollar up, that's making the dollar valuable in the eyes of the world. It's valuable because everybody values it. Well, everybody, almost everybody did, but now it's only 4 out of 5 value it, figuratively speaking. And what happens if we get to 3 out of 5, 60%? At what point do people walk away from the dollar because it's no longer world reserve currency? And when that happens, what happens to the price of gold? What happens to inflation in the United States? What happens to our standard of living? What happens to our political system? There's a bunch of things that we cannot easily lose that standing as world reserve currency and expect that our economy is going to just, you know, muddle through. This will be a big blow if and when it takes place. And if China ever decides to back their currency, their yuan, if they ever decide to back that with gold, the tide of supporters for one currency or the other will instantly shift from considering the yuan and supporting the dollar. They will fly to the yuan overnight. The big difference, I think, between the yuan and the U.S. dollar, we have a bigger economy, we have more power, we got a bunch of things here in the United States. But we have a debt that is so great that it will never be repaid. China, on the other hand, is sitting on a surplus. They have assets where we have debt. And it's going to be part of the reason why people will move. The day is coming. I doubt that many people in this country have ever seen a Chinese yuan, renminbi. I've never seen one. I don't think I've ever had one in my hands. I don't think I've ever seen one say, well, here's what Chinese currency looks like. They're available. You can see pictures on the internet. But they haven't been, you don't see them. You can see a peso around here once in a while and maybe some other foreign currencies. Haven't seen the yuan yet. I think we're going to see more as time goes on. And the top 5 countries using the renminbi, the foreign version of the yuan, again, Chinese currency, are China, Hong Kong, and Singapore. There's no surprise there. Those are Asian countries. That's not a surprise. But the top 5 include Germany and Australia.
That's surprising.
That's surprising.
Germany is surprising.
Germany. Australia. Australia isn't so surprising because it's over there, closely associated with China. But Germany?
Germany?
Yeah, there's a surprise. It indicates that the tide may be moving toward the yuan, and it may move in a fairly rapid rate. It may tend to accelerate. We can't give you prophecy. We don't know for sure what's going to happen, but it seems likely. In fact, you can see China's...
My question about Germany is, I mean, it's the leader of the EU.
Merkel?
Germany is the leader of the EU, and what they do, the rest is going to follow. Germany's been helping to keep everybody from, you know, going into the tank. So with them being in the top 5, or we see in the others, you know, how much of an influence will they have? Absolutely.
You'll be able to go to Greece or Cyprus on your next vacation, and you'll be able to spend all your yuan over there and maybe even get a better deal than you could with dollars. It's hard to say where this is going, but there's reason you can compare. There's more numbers here, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but they point out that the banks expect the yuan to account for 30% of China's external trade settlement by 2015. When they say by 2015, they don't necessarily mean by the end of 2015. They mean by the beginning. That's by the end of 2014, which is 13 months from now. Right? 30% of China's external trade, up from 12% at the end of 2012. We're talking at the end. That's the beginning of 2013. We are essentially talking about the possibility in maybe 2 years that China's external trade settlement will go up from 12% to 30% in 2 years. Now, that's not global use of the yuan, but still it indicates a huge rate of increase. And if a similar rate of increase translates into global use of the yuan, we could be looking at China could achieve parity with the United States dollar in as little as 2 or 3 years. And part of the reason this is significant, it's not necessarily true, but the reason it's significant is this. When that parity is reached, and perhaps even well before that parity, say 50-50, half the world is using yuan, half the world is using dollars, the psychological impact, it may not require the dollar to fall to 50%, from 80% to 50%, might not be required to lose world reserve trade or world reserve currency status. It could be that the psychological implications of the dollar falling from 80% to 70% or 60%, it might be enough to say, okay, that's it. We've had enough of the dollar. We're going elsewhere. This gives us a timeline insofar as this is possible within the next 2 or 3 years. It's absolutely possible. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's certainly possible within as little as 2, perhaps 3 years. It's likely within 5 in my estimation. It gives us a timeline that, to me, suggests this is the maximum amount of time that the dollar can hang on and it can avoid hyperinflation as the first step toward currency destruction. Somewhere between 2 and 5 years, it gives us a timeline we might be able to, you know, reasonably consider, maybe even rely on, and that in turn tells us when gold is going to skyrocket. Because what we're talking about, when we talk about the price of gold going up, we're talking about the value of the dollar, the fiat dollar going down. We are talking about people losing confidence in the dollar. And when they lose confidence in that little promise to pay, guess what? They're going to recognize it for what it is, piece of paper with no intrinsic value. And when that happens, they're going to want, the paper dollar will be no more valuable than a Detroit pension. You understand, if I was working for Detroit for the last 20 years and I came across, I said, Melody, I'd like to give you my Detroit pension and trade it for 100 gold eagles. What do you think, Melody? Is that a deal you want to take? No, I don't think so. No. I don't think so. You're not going to take a genuine promise from Detroit, and you're probably not going to take a genuine promise to pay, a pension fund, a promise to pay from the state of Illinois and say, oh, yeah, you give me your pension and I'll give you 100 gold eagles. I don't think so. Same thing is true with paper dollars. Day's going to come when if you want to get that gold, you're going to have something more real than paper dollars in order to purchase it. And that implies that now is the time. Now is a good time. While people are still taking paper, take your paper, promises to pay, and trade them in for real payments, gold and silver.
Folks really don't have a choice. I guess they do have a choice. You can hold on to those paper dollars and lose along the way, or you can do something to protect it. And, of course, that is with gold and silver. I just saw this one report come out now, and it goes along with the same reason why they were going to choose another currency over our currency. For the first time in nearly 40 years, a majority of Americans believe the U.S. is less important around the world and that it should mind its own business.
Yeah.
And if you remember, this is a stunning rejection of Obama's foreign policy. Just after 4 years, he received the Nobel Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize. But out of the Pew Research Center poll, we found that 53% of the people believe that the U.S. is playing a less important role as a world leader than a decade ago, and that's the highest figure since 1984. And what's worse, 70% said that the U.S. is respected less than in the past, almost matching the high reached under President George W. Bush.
And what does that all point to? If we are less respected, if we are less powerful, what does that all point to? A loss of confidence. And it's not just here in this country. It has to be perceived around the world if you care to look closely. And what holds our fiat dollar together and maintains its illusion of value?
Confidence.
That's right. And what you're reading in that article, as a matter of fact, send me a link on that when the program's over, because I'd like to take a look at it myself. I have use for it. But that loss of confidence, they talk about loss of respect, loss of power, involved in too many things, it's evidence that we are going to have to pull in our horns. And when we do, that world reserve currency status is going to be diminished and perhaps relinquished.
There was another report out today. It says that just 31% of the public say the war in Afghanistan has made the country safer from terrorism. And I'll tell you what, I saw a report today where their poppy crops, their opium crops, had a bumper crop beat all years. And before we went in there, it had the lowest.
Yep.
And I did have the numbers in front of me. I don't now. Staggering. Yep. Staggering what is coming.
Why were the numbers
country.
So low? Why were the numbers so low? Was because Al-Qaeda was keeping them low. Al-Qaeda, the rebels, the terrorists over there, they don't want the production of opium and poppies. They don't want it. But we run them out, and guess what? We support it.
I mean, the numbers were staggering. I believe, we do, some 51% said the U.S. does too much in helping solve world problems. I don't know if we're solving... We're certainly stirring them up.
When was the last time we solved the problem?
Yeah.
Name one we've solved that you can remember. Where's the problem? Point to it. Where's the problem that's been solved?
I can't think of one.
Yeah, neither can I. We've aggravated a bunch of them. We've tried to exploit more than a few of them. Crisis is a terrible thing to waste, according to Hillary Clinton and Ron Emanuel at one point in time.
But you know what the most disturbing thing is? And it just goes to show you where people's mind is. 77% say that growing trade and business ties between the U.S. and other countries is good.
Well, they'd be dumb.
They don't get it.
They'd be dumb. All right? So growing ties means our jobs have been going overseas. Growing ties mean we're going to have to compete with laborers who make a couple dollars an hour instead of $10, $15, $20, $50 an hour. It means we are headed deeper and deeper into poverty and a lower standard of living. We're also headed into the end of the program, Melody, so I want to thank all you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedars from On Financial Survival. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord, bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.